أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاستقم كما أمرت ومن تاب معك ولا تطغوا إنه بما تعملون بصير صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers and those of our mothers and sisters who may be listening over the streaming, the month of Ramadan that had passed was indeed a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the followers of the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what we term as the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala gave us that month of Ramadan to improve ourselves, to improve ourselves spiritually. We have a physical body and then we have a spiritual body. There is a relationship between the two. The person is a human being. He looks like a human being. He has the features of a human being. He's got the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet, heart, liver, lungs, all functioning. But yet you'll find that that person will engage in such activities which makes you wonder whether the person is a human being or not. As we see what is happening currently in Gaza, where the soldiers from the occupation, we won't even call them a defense force any longer, the occupation forces, where they will compete with each other. They will celebrate with one another. And who killed the most children? Who killed the most children? And they will celebrate and show happiness. And they will shoot little children that are walking, defenseless children. And they don't even regard it as something bad. So one asks the question, that can a normal human being do something like this? That we all know a child, whether that child is a Muslim child, whether that child is a Christian child, whether that child is a Jewish child, whether that child is a Hindu child. Islam recognizes that every child is sinless, is ma'soom. Hence, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the companions, the sahaba, that when you engage in any battle or war, you should not kill any children. Women folk should not be touched. The rights of children, the rights of women folk has been sanctified in Islam. Not only that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the companions and the sahaba that when you engage in war and battle, the church should be protected. The synagogue should be protected. The places of worship should be protected. And this is what is regarded as normal human rights. The rights of human beings. Yes, if that woman folk, if that lady participates in the battle and she is one of the soldiers, then they, of course, we will not say that now she is a woman, so we will not defend ourselves. That is a different topic whatsoever. So the question is that if a person is able to celebrate at the killing of children, that though he has got eyes, ears, hands and feet, heart, liver, lungs functioning, we can safely say that he lacks humanity. He's not a normal human being. In fact, sometimes we'll even say that he's even worse than an animal. That even an animal doesn't resort to some of the things that some human beings resort to. Massacring one's own children, walking in some shopping mall and just shooting people. So these are things which are not normal. So one may say, but Maulana, you know, I'm a human being, I've got all the qualities of a human being. Yes, we agree, we all have the qualities of a human being, but it's much more than that. Do you really have the qualities of a human being? And what are the qualities of a human being? What sets us apart from animals? Because dogs also eat. Lions also sleep. They all function. They survive. They're also a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's a vast difference. A human being has got certain qualities. And these are the questions that we need to be asking ourselves. And this is why Allah Ta'ala gave us the month of Ramadan, to develop these qualities, to eradicate the qualities, that the base qualities which are found in animals, eradicate them. The quality of kindness, the quality, the spirit of sacrificing, the spirit of selflessness, the spirit of self-control. I control myself. An animal will not control itself. Whatever it sees, finish. It'll eat anything, do anything, behave in any way whatsoever. And similarly, a human being who has not learned self-control will behave the same way. He'll eat whatever he wishes to, whenever he wishes to, however he wishes to. He will engage in whichever relationship with whomsoever, whenever. No rules, no regulations. Free, freedom. Yet the reality is that no one is really free. No one is really free. Free. It's just an illusion. Even those people who live in the most so-called, you know, democratic and freedom-loving countries, so-called, they too have realized that there's a, it's just a verb that's being used. Freedoms, when it suits them, then they will apply it. But when others are searching for freedom, then we veto. We say they are not allowed to have the independent state. We veto it. Freedom is not for them. Freedom is not only when it suits us. His rights are only there for when it suits us. But when the rights of others are being violated, then it's fine. There's no problem. It's double standards. Clearly showing that it's a selfish behavior. And so long as it suits me, I will apply it. But if it doesn't suit me, then I will not apply. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with the deen of Islam and this month of Ramadan to enhance and to develop these qualities, to eradicate the base qualities. MashaAllah, the month of Ramadan definitely was for the investment in the Akhirah, earning great rewards and thawab. But that was not really the purpose of the month of Ramadan. The real purpose of the month of Ramadan was supposed to have been that you became a better person after the month of Ramadan. If before the month of Ramadan you were screaming and fighting at your wife, or with your wife, and after the month of Ramadan you are still screaming and fighting with your wife, if before the month of Ramadan you were engaging in gossip and lies and riba, and after the month of Ramadan you are still engaging in gossip and riba and lies, then we can safely say, and may Allah protect us, that we achieve nothing from the month of Ramadan except an opportunity to make a lot of tilawat of the Quran Sharif, fast in the month of Ramadan. But that was not the real purpose of the month of Ramadan. Allah clearly defined it. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum lat la'allakum tatluna kitab Allah wa la'allakum tasumun wa la'allakum tasaddaqun. Allah didn't say that I gave you the month of Ramadan so that you will fast. Or I gave you the month of Ramadan so you make tilawat of the Quran Sharif. Or I gave you the month of Ramadan so that you give lots of charities. Allah said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The month of Ramadan has been given to you so that you become a better person. You become a better human being. Now that the month of Ramadan is over, we have to ask ourselves the question. Some ulama-i kiram explain that a sign that your month of Ramadan has been accepted is that after the month of Ramadan you become a better person. A sign that your hajj is accepted, that when you return from hajj you are a better person. A sign that your umrah has been accepted is that when you return from umrah you are a better person. After the month of Ramadan, did I perform my fajr salah with jama'ah for the menfolk? Did I even perform my Fajr Salah? This entire week that passed after the month of Ramadan, what was my Salah like? And those who are performing Salah, was there any improvement in the Salah? Or was it a hit and run Salah? A hit and run Salah. As they say, up, down, kiss the ground and back to town. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, has there really been an improvement? Has there been an improvement in our hearts? Has the quality of humility developed within my heart? Or am I still that same arrogant, proud person? That if somebody says something to me, I become very angry with that person. Then it is a worry. Really purified the heart. So respected elders and brothers, we need to do some real introspection. It is never too late to change. One alim mentioned very beautifully, he said, never ever say a person can never change. Yes, the month of Ramadan went, we never really improved. But we can still change our lives now. We can still make the decision that I need enough is enough. How long am I going to continue with this behavior of mine? How long is my character going to remain as is, that I'm that abusive person? That I'm continuously abusing people, belittling people, mocking at people, insulting people. That I'm not prepared to develop the quality of humility within myself. Remember, respected elders and brothers, one of the greatest sicknesses, the greatest sicknesses is the sickness of pride. And it's very easy to hide this pride. I can easily put on a white kurta, white topi, white socks, and I can walk with my back down, lowered. And that will give an impression that I'm a very humble person. Right? You know what I mean? Give that impression. You have a tasbih in the hand also, put a miswak in the top pocket, tie a turban also. The person can give the appearance of a very humble person. Or the person can speak with softly. He appears to be a very soft person. So that appearance is very easy. But when do you test it? When do you test the brakes of the car? Somebody said, I got very sharp brakes. So the only time we can really say that the brakes are sharp is when the person is driving and then he slams the brake. He puts pressure on the brakes. You can test the person's humility is that when the person is told that you are wrong, this point that you made is not right, it's incorrect. And now see what happens. If the blood pressure starts rising and the person now starts to duck and dive and tries to turn around and said, you said this here, let me tell you something about you. These are all indications that the person is suffering from the disease of pride. And when the person is suffering from the disease of pride, then you can imagine all the other problems that come about. That person will always be fighting with someone. Always. He'll be angry with someone or the other. There'll be someone that that person is fighting with. Someone that that person is angry with. No one would be perfect in that person's eye. So therefore, respected elders and mothers, this month of Ramadan was an opportunity to introspect, to reflect. Now that the month of Ramadan is over, we need to look back. If I am the same old person that I was and I have not improved, if my character is the way it was, then it is a sign that the Ramadan didn't go too well. But as we said, it is not too late. And the real test now after the month of Ramadan is the test of consistency. It is the test of consistency. That after the month of Ramadan has completed, are we going to be consistent? Yes, we're not asking that you read 20 rakats after the Isha Salah every single day. But at least perform the Isha Salah. We are not saying that you must make that much Quran, tilawat of the Quran Sharif every day. But at least some form of ibadah daily. So respected elders and brothers, now that the month of Ramadan has terminated, the real test of consistency, which is the hardest test. That is the hardest test. It is termed in Arabic as istiqama. And ulama-i kiram say, al-istiqamatu fawqa al-karama. That this steadfastness, remaining firm on your a'mal and your actions and your activities, it's one of the greatest miracles that a person can perform in himself. That he remains firm and steadfast on Iman and on Islam and on Salah after the month of Ramadan. So respected elders and brothers, now that the month of Ramadan has terminated, we have two big challenges. The biggest challenge is the challenge within ourselves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, that the greatest enemy that you have is the enemy within yourself. If you ask yourself the question, what caused the devil, Shaitan, to go astray? It was his own ego, his own self. And again, we spoke about pride, and he was an embodiment of pride. His piety made him very, very proud. And this is what happens. This is how we become proud. Whenever we achieve something, then we attribute that achievement to ourselves. We opened up a business. The business started doing very well. The person says, meh. Me, myself and I. One alim said very nicely that on Qurbani day when the sheep makes too much meh, we make Qurbani of the sheep. So when the person is saying me, myself and I, you know, I did this and you know, I am like this and we are like this and our family is like this and our heritage is like this. We are like this. Then the person should make qurbani of that me, myself and I. He should slaughter it. Because remember, if the person says that, you know, I'm a very intelligent person. And because of my intelligence, I did very well in the exams. And because of my intelligence, you know, my professor said this about me and said that about me. And I got selected as a, you know, one of the main students. And I got my certificate. And you see that certificate on the wall. Oh, businessman. And I did good deals. You know, I was able to make a profit here. And I made a profit there. And I got this guy here. And I brought his price down. And I made a good profit. You know, I did this. And I did that. Yeah. Then the person should ask himself the question, or she should ask herself the question, that if you are claiming that your intelligence is so great, who gave you the intelligence? If you are claiming that you are such a good businessman, who gave you the ability to make those decisions? Who gave it to you? If you feel that you are very handsome, or she feels that she is very beautiful, so who gave the beauty? Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ Whatever ni'mah you have, whatever bounty you have, whatever capability you have, whatever faculty you have, it comes from Allah and Allah alone. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء. Allah says, Allah is the king of all kingdom. He grants power and kingdom to whomsoever He wishes. He snatches it away from whomsoever He wishes. Allah grants honor to whomsoever He wishes, and Allah disgraces whomsoever He wishes. It's all in the control of Allah Ta'ala. So when somebody comes to you and says, MashaAllah, you know, you bahut nek, khubsurat aadmi hai, whatever it is, you're such a good businessman, tu aise hai, waise hai, and one person add double paise hai. So if somebody praises you, then just think to yourself, in actual fact, they are praising Allah Ta'ala. That praise goes to Allah Ta'ala. If there's a beautiful painting in the Musalla here, we had a beautiful painting, and somebody starts praising the painting. And if figuratively the painting could talk, and now the painting starts feeling very good about itself. In actual fact, the person is not praising the painting. The person is praising the person who painted it. So when somebody praises us, they're not really praising us. They're praising the one who gave us that ability. And this will keep you humble. And another thing that will bring a person down to earth is never forget your humble beginnings. MashaAllah, you are very, bahut maaldaar shakhs hai. Aapke paas bahut paise hai. You got lot of money. Do you remember those days when you just started off, when you didn't have any money? When you had to go and take a loan from this one and that one and this one? Kya bhul gaya? I forgot. You forgot those days. You remember those days when you started studying and you couldn't understand the concepts, and you were struggling and you were battling, and that one person helped you to understand something? Forgot already. Don't ever forget your beginnings. Allah Ta'ala reminds us in the Quran Majid, Hal ata ala al-insani heenum min al-dahri lam yakun shay'an madhkura. Allah says, does man not remember that there was a time that came upon him when he was not even existent? You were nothing. You were absolutely nothing. Now that you got something, you became very big. Allah reminds us, do you not forget, do you not remember when you were absolutely nothing, when you were absolutely helpless, when you didn't have anything? Now that you got some capability or some position, or you are, you know, a senior in the family, now all of a sudden you have become very great. Are you claiming greatness? Allahu Akbar min kulli shay. Allah is the greatest. We are absolutely nothing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a quality every single believer, Allah wants us to develop every single day. Hence you will find in your salah, how many times do we say Allahu Akbar? We start our salah, takbir tahrima. Without takbir tahrima, salah is not valid. It is one of the faraid of salah. The person has to start his salah with Allahu Akbar. Main to bada nahi hu. I am not great. Allah Ta'ala sabse bada hai. Allah is the greatest. And again, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And the person constantly repeats it and repeats it, and not once a day. Every single salah 5 times a day, whether it is your Fard Salah, whether it is your Sunnat Salah, whether it is your Nafil Salah, in the month of Ramadan for Taraweeh, how many times you are saying Allahu Akbar? We were reminding ourselves that we are nothing in front of Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, the true believer who really focuses on his salah, who really builds a connection with Allah Ta'ala, hence you will find the friends of Allah, they never ever suffer from pride. The person, if he has got a candle, he's got a candle in his hand. He can see the light, the brightness of the candle. And he's seeing the brightness of the sun. Will he be impressed with the brightness of his candle? He understands the brightness of the sun when he looks at his candle. He says, shukar, I have a candle. Lakin in front of the sun, this candle is absolutely nothing. Hence the friends of Allah, those people jiske paas Allah Ta'ala ki ma'rifat ho. The person who has got the ma'rifat of Allah in his heart, he's got the azmat of Allah in his heart. Where can he ever see his own azmat and his own greatness? They say, my azmat is kuch bhi nahi hai. My greatness is absolutely nothing in front of Allah Ta'ala. It is not even equal to that candle in front of Allah Ta'ala. Hence, the Ahlullah and the friends of Allah never ever suffer from pride. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with that beautiful quality. So this ability to develop humility within yourself, remember that whatever you are becoming impressed with within your own self, that is actually a ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. And then, remember that don't ever forget your beginnings. Don't forget your beginnings. Where, how you started off. And that will keep you humble. And the third thing is understand the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. When a person understands the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, he will never be impressed with his own greatness, with his own achievements. He will attribute those achievements and that greatness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming back to the point is that after the month of Ramadan, the big test is the test of consistency. That keep it going, keep that ball, as they say, rolling. We have two enemies, and the greatest enemy is the enemy within our own selves. That ego and that pride, and that is what caused shaitan to go astray. So there, we need to be very, very particular. Keep watching over yourself. Be careful with the nafs. If the person was involved in an old sin, and sometimes a little bit of exposure of that old sin again will cause a person to fall back and get exposed. And the second great enemy that we have is the enemy of shaitan. And for that, respected elders and brothers, we need to constantly be in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran Majeed, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا. That when shaitan whispers to those people who have got the quality of taqwa, then immediately they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in very different ways. Obedience of Allah ta'ala. What is Allah ta'ala's command at this time? It is now the time of salah. Or the command of Allah is that I should stay away from this sin. That too is regarded as the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those who appreciates the month of Ramadan. And remember, appreciation for any bounty is that we use that bounty in a manner that pleases the giver of that bounty. The person, his parents gave him a laptop to study for the examination. And now if he takes that laptop and he's going and watching movies and playing games, he's gaming the whole day with his friends. You know, now they have the gaming where they connect with each other and all of those things. The whole day is gaming. But his father and mother gave him the laptop, so he must study. He must do his assignments, submit his assignments on time, do his research work. But he's not doing that. The question is, will the parents be happy that you took this laptop and instead of doing what you're supposed to be doing, you busy gaming and wasting your time? Parents will be very, very upset. The parents will say, we gave you this, but you went and abused it. In the same way, Allah says, we've given you the month of Ramadan will be, that the month of Ramadan was given to you to become a better human being. But we see that after the month of Ramadan, you've become as is. You haven't really progressed. This, respected elders and brothers, is an indication that we have not really appreciated the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability and the tawfiq to appreciate the month of Ramadan and to be consistent and steadfast after the month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. We can now perform our sunnat salah.